Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this day. Thank you for prelude. Good morning, Iris. Good morning, Jeremy. Hi. And for those on radio, good morning and welcome to worship at Our Savior Lutheran. If you pick us up later on the podcast, welcome to the worship life of Our Savior. This day, third Sunday of the month, we celebrate Eucharist, so join us. Reminder, next week we do have our 8:30 service here, and it is broadcast and podcast, as we always do, but the 11 o'clock service is at Greg and Susan Jones' house on North River Road. There we celebrate our annual picnic. We have done it at many locations over the 23 years. Last year and this year, we're at the Joneses, which affords us access to the Black River where it bends. We'll be able to go swimming, hot tub, all that kind of good stuff, water sports, softball game, and we'll have KFC chicken, and we'll also have pig roast. So if you've never done a pig roast, you're in charge of the spit. No. There are professionals who did it for us last year. They do it again this year. It's a wonderful outing. And invite friends. This nothing we do at Our Savior is ever closed. So always invite friends and family if you choose to. At 11 o'clock promptly. Please don't just arrive at 11 because the worship begins at 11. Okay, if you're bringing food and incidentals, chairs, and all that kind of stuff, do it first. Don't just show up at 11 and delay the worship service at 11, because there'll be timing for food, so it gets out there. Okay, so join us next Sunday for that episode. Last week was a special week. There are photographs on the back table. A once-in-a-lifetime event for a pastor, the 40th anniversary of my ordination. It was a delightful and surprisingly unknown event for me. Everybody in the congregation kept the secret lips tight. Whoa! Don Porter, when he was alive, always teased me. He says, I think you have speakers, listening devices, people in the walls. You hear everything. Well, I missed this one. It was right off my radar screen. So it was a delightful experience. And graciously, thank you for being here, supporting the ministry I have done among you. Our worship begins with confession of sin. If you'll please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick, raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. It is the Apostle Paul who assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to his cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. So be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you. Amen. Our entrance hymn, Praise and Thanksgiving. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise for the day, Majesty, worship His Majesty.
Thank you.
in the prayer for the day, let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated. First reading, Judy Avers.
First reading comes from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9b through 14. The Lord promises those who have returned from exile that where justice and mercy prevail, the ruins will be rebuilt and light will rise in the darkness. It is a day of new beginnings. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on the holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you right upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of our Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Judy. This pastor decided with no children's sermons during the summer, we don't have to lose that youthful spirit. So we've been singing songs that members have given us from their childhood, things that they liked. So we sing Jesus Loves Me, just remain seated. And all the verses are there in case you're one of the ones that only knew one verse. There really are three. The psalm of the day is one we read in unison. It's Psalm 103, beginning with the first verse. Please join me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all God's benefits. He forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. You have known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Our second reading by Jane.
Good morning. Using images of Moses from the Old Testament, the writer presents a striking vision of the new covenant of God made possible in Christ. There is no longer fear, only awe in the new promise in Christ into which we are invited. Our second reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Huge. And if you're able to stand, we sing the gospel acclamation. Gospel of the day is from Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit who had been crippled over for 18 years. She was bent over, was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, Woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hands upon her, immediately she stood up straight. She began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, There are 6 days on which to work should be done. Come on those days, then you can be cured, but not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on a Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, who is a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus had said this, all his opponents were put to shame. The entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord. If you'll please be seated. Hope I'm back on the microphone. Turn me up. Okay. Sermon outline is in the back inside cover. You like to follow along with us? Got us? Got me, Hope? Okay. Looking at all three of the readings, you get a sense of movement. Always, when three lessons for Sundays in our liturgical churches are chosen, they are chosen not at random. They are chosen for themes that relate to a theme for the overall day. It's one of the nice things that we liturgical churches have, because the people are not subject to what the pastor wants to talk about, though I am free to leave the lectionary, and I have done that many times. But it keeps the whole countenance, the whole word of God, to be heard by the people of God, and that it can be expounded on in sermon, so that it's not just a pastor's personal peeve, which can happen in non-liturgical churches. They can just grind something in ad nauseum. Whereas in the liturgical churches, for those who follow the lectionary, you get a full view of what God's like. So, here we go. There's a movement. I think most of us know it, but unfortunately, a lot of people discard and discount the Old Testament. Not to be done. Old Testament is a revelation of our God. It is a revelation of His Word. It's a revelation of the nature of God. It's a building block to get to Jesus. You can't have the new without the old. You need both. That's why in the Bethel series we teach both Testaments with equal weight, because they deserve it. In the Old Testament, and the appointed text for today is Isaiah 58. We've gone through a lot by this point in Isaiah. It's near the end. Speaking to a people who are ready to be released after their endurance of captivity, loss of identity as a nation, experienced the dark side of God, the punishment of God that nobody thought God could ever do to his people. I hope we don't take that assumption in this country the same way. God can do whatever God wants to do. He alone is sovereign. He alone makes the decisions. He does not consult with earthlings to make those decisions. So, here they are. He is still telling them, learn from your past when you go back home so you don't repeat it, and you learn to follow your God, and you will turn repentance, metanoia, a changed heart towards your God. Do that when you come into the land again. Obey your God this time, unlike your forefathers. Okay? Strong words. Repeated hundreds of times to ears that are not always open, apparently deaf to God's word. Here's the admonition. We got to hear it as the Church of Jesus Christ. God wants you to care for the hungry. God wants you to minister to other people's afflictions. One of the things that has been a reoccurring kind of mantra in my years of ministry is the phrase, well, you know, Pastor, charity begins at home. My response is, yes, but it was never meant to stop there. Sure, let it start there. But it has to go beyond there. It has to go to the world. We have been, as God said, Genesis 12, to Abraham, blessed to be a blessing. All of us who took Bethel have that ingrained in our bodies. It's like a tattoo. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are not blessed for just our family. We have been blessed so that others may come to know the God of our salvation revealed in Jesus Christ. How do we do it? By kindly deeds. Showing respect, kindness to the stranger. Caring for those who have physical, mental, emotional problems. Showing the love of Christ when people would walk on the other side, right? Wasn't that the parable of the Good Samaritan? Who's my neighbor? Anybody, Jesus says. They are your neighbor. So, Isaiah is reiterating the word of the Lord. Care for the people when you get home again. Don't forget them. In your comfort, in your prosperity, in your abundance. And then the caution. Do what I have commanded, the Lord says. Avoid evil words and evil deeds. And ignoring the Sabbath. Now we can have dialogue about the Sabbath with Seventh-day Adventist. It's not so much the day, sorry. It's about your attitude. There's the Sabbath spoken about in the book of Hebrews. There's the Sabbath that Luther explains in the Ten Commandments. If you know the explanation Luther gives, we are to honor God's word and its preaching. It is not tied to a day. It's an attitude. It's a willingness to receive instruction. It's a willingness to be attentive to the word. And to do something because I have heard it, now I take action. Okay. Do that, and you got it. But also avoid evil. Evil. The day Sabbath is a symbol God gave from the day of creation when humans were finally on this earth. The day of the Sabbath was to recognize that you think you're busy, you need that extra day for yourself, for working, well, the employer requires it, and da-da-da-da-da. And I got to have a day for me. Lord knows I work six. I got to have a day for me. Understand. God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days. What do you do with your 6 days? If God can make the heavens and the earth, you got time to take a break just like God did. It's a symbol to us. Why? For us to revere God sometime. I always jokingly tell people, it's hard for a pastor to honor the Sabbath if it's a Sunday or a Saturday, because we're working. We're trapped. So, what does the Sabbath mean? It's your attitude. And where do you carve out time for God? One of our family with still two boys under the age of high school, in high school, one of them. They've been looking at our devotional books back there, and they've been saying, Pastor, can you show us some of the ones? How do they work? They said, we want to incorporate prayer more in our life before our kids leave our house. I said, I applaud you. Better to start now or earlier than before they're launched. And the world gets a hold of them. We need to make time for God. If you don't use the devotional booklets, Lord knows there's about 60, 80 copies of about 10 different designs. Don't tell me they're all boring. Something has to float your boat. And if that doesn't work, go to the Christian bookstore. Go to Augsburg. Go online. find the one that works for you. But I can't imagine standing before the Creator in heaven and saying, well, Lord, I couldn't find one that worked. I don't think that's an acceptable pass here. We have more access to resources in this generation than any generation. How dare we make excuses? We are more free time than any generation in the history of this planet. How dare we say we don't have time for God? It's selfishness, narcissism, self-centeredness. Let's call it culture, what your issue is, what your sin is. You think you have gotten to this land of plenty on your own merits? Forget that. Let's pop your bubble now. It is the Lord your God who brought you to this land of milk and honey. You did not do anything to deserve it, so do not forget your God. That's the caution of Isaiah. Hebrews. Hebrews is a little gentle, but he's still going to make you feel the cutting edge. He says, we got to move from a condition of fear. Moses induced fear. I mean, it was this way or death. This way or you die. This way or you're going to pay for it. Okay? Pretty cut and dry. There was nothing politically correct in his day. It was straight and narrow, swift and cutting. Now we come to Hebrews, Paul writing to the church. He says, we don't do things out of fear. You know how we say, you're to fear and love God. We try to teach our youth, and I'm not sure it sinks through them because I'm not sure what their filters are when the hormones are flowing. Fear is to have a healthy, awesome respect for God. Sometimes it may be trembling, but most of the time it's like, oh, you know how the expression, oh my God, yeah, oh my God, he's real. Everything he says is trustworthy. Everything he does is good. Everything he is awesome. I have several t-shirts. I wore one during vacation Bible school. It's like the song that was written by an Australian before his dying. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Oh, yes, he does. This God of ours is an awesome God. He deserves our holy respect. That's the reason why when it comes to cussing and swearing, for generations we taught people, don't ever say those curse words, right? Don't take the Lord your God's name in vain. Kind of as the commandment says for Moses, for the Lord your God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Do you remember that part of that commandment? You take God's name in vain. You do so at your peril, not God's peril. You are to treat the name and the very identity of the Lord your God with holy respect. There is no other God that human mind has constructed, statue has tried to replicate, or any human heart has ever honored like our God. He alone is the Lord of lords. He alone is the King of Kings. He sits on his throne without our permission, without our approval, because he's the God, not us. And so Moses, you know, said, if you touch this, you're going to die. You touch this, you're going to get zapped and all that stuff, to put a sense of respect. And maybe from our point of view, an overstatement, maybe it was accurate. Bottom line is, when we come to Jesus Christ, it's a little gentler, but still intent. He's the mediator, Paul says, of a new covenant. Unlike Moses' covenant that brought death with disobedience, in Jesus Christ comes salvation. Not just by obedience to Torah, law, but by faithfulness to God in Jesus Christ. Now, some would criticize the Christian gospels too slack, too easy, and that's what the critics of the Apostle Paul were criticized. The Judaizers went around and said, Paul's not telling you the real truth and the nature of God because you still got to do the Ten Commandments. Paul says, do not, Galatians, do not submit again to a yoke of obedience. A yoke of slavery, you have been set free. Do not voluntarily give up what God gave you in Jesus Christ and put again the Torah around your neck, because you will die if you live by that. It has less fear, more love. It's the reason why I say, I hope you can grow to a point in your faith where you can laugh with God and laugh when God does things to you. My friend Paul from last week when we were sitting after the church gathering, we went out to just sit and talk, family and friends. And Paul came up to me privately, like, now we've been friends for 50 plus years. We grew up together, Luther League, choir, we did it all. Paul says, Don, do you think God ever laughs? Does God have a sense of humor? I said, oh, let me go on this one. He's laughing at me all the time. I know God has a sense of humor. I lose my keys. Lord, show me my keys. And then all of a sudden, they appear. Lord, you're a jokester. I know God's not doing it. But I know God hears my cry. He hears your cry. I know God understands us, our soft spots, our tender spots, and our trigger spots. And he's sensitive to that. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He is good. And when he's not laughing at me, he's probably laughing at one of you. But the reality is, God does have a sense of humor. I've experienced it. I hope you have too. Something happens and Paul says, you know, I'm doing something. All of a sudden I start laughing. I said, that's a holy laugh. That's how you know you're at peace with God. If you're living under fear, you have to worry about if you're going to offend God. If you live under love, there is no fear. 1 John says, perfect love casts out fear. As you and I grow in Jesus Christ, the ultimate journey is to lead us to have less fear of God and more enjoyment with God. Playfulness, enjoy, not fear. If anybody preaches to you another gospel than that, it's like, oh my, you're a bad representative of the Christian faith. Should we have respect all the time? But should we live under a tyrant ruling us? No. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. And you can get angry with God. You've heard me say that thousands of times. God's shoulders are broader than any human's. And you and I don't have to defend God before anybody else. You don't have to justify God. God is God. We are dwarfed by the presence of God because we don't have the answers. So don't try to pretend you're a know-it-all. Even pastors don't know it all. The gospel text, Luke 13th chapter. Here we got a woman, 18 years suffering. Who has compassion? Not the men. That's the culture. And it's representative by the synagogue leaders, because they're the men, the gender. So this woman comes up to Jesus, and he touches her, lays hands on her, and he says, you're healed. You think they'd celebrate it, right? No way. Why? He isn't doing the letter of the law. He offends God in his ministry. He should not be allowed to speak. Jesus just uses a common example. I could use this with my birds. You could use it in any agricultural setting. You could do it with your pets. If your pet is hungry, your pet is thirsty, would you not feed them? Would you not go to the store if the feed is gone? If the water was gone, wouldn't you go out and buy some water for them? If you know what is right to do for an animal, why is it not right to do it for a child of Abraham? Whoa. There you have it. Humans make God's rules, and they're wrong. God makes the rules, they're right. Get to the spirit of it, Israel. Humans. God loves people. Quit playing your games with God. Quit thinking you know God's mind when you have no relationship to the divine. You don't know his mind. It's the Old Testament prophet says, his thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. How dare any human say, I know what God thinks? That's blasphemous. You're contradicting scripture. You can have a hunch. I have hunches. I think I know what God's doing, but I know I can be 100% wrong, and God will forgive me. But the arrogant say, I know. And they do not flinch upon what is right or wrong because they know. No, they don't. God knows. And only God shows the compassion that humans don't get. So just like in the Old Testament, Isaiah, where you got to care for the hungry, you got to care for the poor, those with afflictions. The synagogue of Jesus' day should have remembered Isaiah, right? Not. Because when it comes to practice, even sometimes the best hypocrites and Christians still don't get it. Got to translate the Word of God to real life situations and then do it. Not because it makes sense to you, but because God said, do it. Moving from the Old Testament view to a maturing view revealed in Jesus Christ, we understand our life is a lot simpler, a lot happier, less pressure, and we can actually enjoy God, not be afraid of God. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Now you're going to think this is a weird hymn, but it was chosen by our members and it seemed very appropriate. It's the Lenten hymn, Were You There?
Thank you.
receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. At this time, just kind of as we did last week, there's a special page, center aisle for in-house, asking if there are any changes in your directory. Inevitably, the copy is in the back. It's been there for 7 weeks. And everybody walks by because they're quick to go out the door, quick to come in. So we start putting this sheet in. If there is a change, put it down here. If you're not sure if there's a change, just write your name, address, and phone number. And if you have a winner address, then we're certain. Put it in the offering plate, give it to one of the deacons, myself, whatever. Just so when this directory comes out for September, we don't get 10 calls saying, well, the number in the directory is wrong. What's the new address? And no matter how much we humanly try to do it, it still happens. So we just try to reduce the incidents. If you can't for us, we appreciate it. To the prayer list, we will be adding the name of Jeff Parker. Got a text yesterday from Lori, Annette's sister. Jeff went back in. He's having trouble reoccurring basis for probably 6 or 8 months. So he's back in Mercy Hospital. Hope to see him tomorrow. We have had a movement change. Marge Martin, who was at Mercy 4 weeks ago with an episode in her life, she's at Regency, unless she's moved in the last week, she's at Regency. And then Carl Belger, the congregation, had his stroke 2 weeks ago, and he's now, as of this end of last week, he's at Regency. Doug and I have both seen him up there, so you can send any cards or get well wishes to him and his family. Kay Price is back. Her father had a stroke, they went back for that. And then as he continued, then he finally died. Services last week. In case you don't know, as plumbing is in my family, funeral homes are in her family. So arrangements were, I assume, done by your brother or somebody there. Yeah. That makes it doubly difficult when you have to do a parent. And you're in our prayers. And obviously, you safely got back from Pennsylvania. Good place to be from. Good place to be here. So we welcome you back in God's love. Bill made the comment to me before service, saying everything's spontaneous, I do. And he says, boy, it takes a lot of energy to do a funeral. It's like, absolutely. It's not physical exertion, it's mental, emotional, it rips your gut, it taxes everything in you. It's real. This last week we put to rest Guy Provost Cremains on Monday. I thank all of you who helped on the meal, donated food, or came out to serve on another day, especially after the meal on Sunday. Thank you very much for being part of that for the Provost family. Many other things in your bulletin. You heard me speak about next week's service. 8:30 is here. Don't get it confused. 11 o'clock is there at the Jones' household. We'll be doing the newsletter in approximately 10 days. So if you have any news that needs to go in, it's time to get it to Ruth or myself, that it can be included in the next newsletter. So many things to read, to respond. If you'll please rise, our gifts are presented, and we proceed to Eucharist. Thank you.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hands in blessings. Fill us with good things at your table that we may come to help all in need through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Rooted in Christ and raising to serve, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Lord of all languages, we pray with and for Christians in worship all over the world. Make your church a joyful to reflect the diversity of your people and the unity of your love. Hear us, O God. Your Spirit speaks in creation. We thank you for watered gardens, for abundant yield, for clean water, for sunlight, for communities where people and nature live in peace together. Hear us, O God. Remove the yoke of destructive partisanship, the pointing of the finger at all our enemies, and bless nations in need. Empower all to speak the truth, encouraging honorable leadership. Hear us, O God. Bring strength and health and wholeness in the parched places of our lives. Bless those in need this day, especially Roger Taylor, Heather Bryson, Trish LaScott, Dave Turner, John Polvez, Mike Forbes, Carol Weaver, Andrew Moreno, Marjorie Martin, Sherry Gonder, Jim Gonder, Dan Baird, Carl Schenberg, Jerry Nordgren, Carolyn Baker, Diane Seltzer, Jake Ward, Carl Belger, Bonnie Van Vuskirk, Bob Peterson, Jim Fisher, Jeff Parker. Be with the victims of flooding throughout the United States. Be with those who have passed, the family of Bill and Kay Price, with the passing of their father. Be with our homebound, Jim and Donna Martin, Helen Veach and Kathy Dan. Be with those serving our nation, especially Tristan Morrison and Rob Nolan, and those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning to our communities. Empower all to speak the truth, encouraging, and surround them in your care and hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for those who must be absent from this assembly while they work. Give them and all people Sabbath rest. Refresh our hearts in Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Our stories are shaped in the community. We thank you for the people, young and old, women and men who have witnessed to your love, and we remember those who have recently died. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting your promise to hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the meal was over, he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you, but for all people. For the forgiveness of sin." So, gathered together as one people through the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is Christ who invites you to a place of honor at his banquet. So welcome to the feast. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We sing during distribution. Come, for all is ready. Christ for this kind of food. The blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. Depart in the Lord's peace, my brother.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.